News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. And by the way, listen, if you are finding yourself somehow getting outside the range of our AM-FM capability at WVNN, which is pretty significant because we're a big one. Listen, we cover most of North Alabama and Southern Tennessee, but if you're getting outside that range or you're taking a trip somewhere and you want to hear the show, all you got to do is go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And you can click on Listen Live, and like I say, wherever you is, there we is. And we got folks that take us on vacation and people that call in from out of state. And listen, that's pretty cool, and I appreciate the broad space that our audience covers. And so thank you very much for that. So, all right, listen, I'm sitting here in the studio having a cup of Just Love coffee. Made it on the Keurig right before I went in because they got K-Cups and they got all the usual blends. So, Copper, let me ask you a question. We're going to be talking, and I'm going to hold some of this till after the next break, but we're going to be talking about leadership for a while and about people in our communities who make a difference. Sometimes they're big names. Sometimes they're, you know, people with, you know, no titles or positions of authority, so to speak, but sometimes those make the biggest difference.
Yeah.
So I wonder, you ever seen anybody in your life in particular who was like a Yusuf, like what I talked about, who just in the moment could make a difference?
Yeah, I thought of the secretary back at my school growing up, who she was like the mom away from home for all the kids. She knew just what medicine everybody needed. She, you know, would put the Band-Aids on you when you fell down. But she wasn't like a kindergarten teacher that would coddle you. She was like firm, not strict, but firm. And so she just kind of made everybody calm down.
But she could set a tone, didn't she? She set a tone.
Yes.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I mean, I've seen that. And I can remember, one time there was this kid that I, you know, when I was in youth ministry full time, and he and I kind of had a sit down because he had been anyway doing some stuff, right? And I looked at him. I said, you know what? You're a natural leader. And he looked at me funny, and I said, you are. You're a natural leader. I said, I have seen the group stop to see what you're going to do before they do anything else. And I said, but you can be a negative leader or a positive leader. It's up to you. People are going to follow you one way or the other. What kind of difference do you want to make? Yeah. And I actually wrote that on a card for him at the end of this camp we went to together. And he came back to me like 10 years later and brought me that card and said, I just want you to know that I still remember that conversation. And that was like one of those moments where I thought, well, maybe those years in youth ministry were not a waste. That was cool. But that's the thing is people don't realize. A lot of folks think you have to have this like special position or elected to a special position or whatever. No, you don't. Make a difference where you are in your little piece, like that secretary at your school, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think people too often like sell themselves short or underestimate their capabilities. And there's stuff happening right now. So there's a situation going on in Etowah County, where Gadsden in that area is. And it's a massive situation for the county. It's one of those things that the rest of the state hadn't even recognized, I guess. There's this big, huge, hairy deal going on where a major chicken plant wants to put what's called a chicken processing rendering plant. Basically, what they do is they said they're going to have upwards of 120 open-topped trucks a day. And they have to be open-topped because they develop gases because they're filled with animal parts and fluids and yada, 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 you can imagine. So birds follow them everywhere and all this. Anyway, these trucks are going to be coming in and burning things in this rendering plant, and they have smells that are unbelievable, and they want to put it right next to the Gadsden Airport, next to churches, next to schools, next to neighborhoods. I mean, I'm talking about literally across the street. And the community is in an uproar. They cannot figure out why anybody would do this. Well, what's happened, the reason I say all that, is because a group of citizens got real active, and it has gotten viral. I've never seen anything quite like it, but it is a viral situation right now, and the local elected officials are reeling because something like 10,000 local citizens have canvassed. They have a Facebook page. They're doing videos. They've got billboards. They're having meetings. Attorneys have been hired to file suit on the matter, and this thing has gone crazy. But it's all because some local citizens who didn't have an elected position said, you know what? Not on my watch. You're not going to ruin my neighborhood. I'm not going to smell that while I'm at church. No, we're not doing this. And so that's that's a classic example of what I'm seeing at the grassroots right now. And there's stuff like that happening all the time. Toll bridge. There was an example down in Mobile of an attempt by the state to enter into an opportunity to put a toll bridge across the bay. And this toll bridge, all right, on the one hand, I look at it and go, you know, you could raise taxes on everybody, or you could do a toll bridge. And even the Heritage Foundation said that, in truth, a toll is like a user fee. It's only the people who use it actually pay for it. So on the one hand, that can be a conservative option. Except the way the state was going to go about it was so ham-handed and awful. It was going to be costing something like, I don't know, $7 a trip across the bridge. It was just ridiculous. All said and done, the citizens of the state rose up. In that part of the state, it became their viral rendering plant opportunity, and they shut down that toll bridge. I'm just telling you, people, when you lead from within the ranks, it's still called leadership. Do not underestimate your position, not one bit. All right, listen, Right Side Radio is solid and conservative and just plain right. We get back, I'm going to play you a clip from Condoleezza Rice. It's going to knock your socks off. That's leadership. But then I've got some other stuff, too, from people that don't really have a big name, and they're doing great things. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, we are moving forward with the day. I got my Right Side rations here, a cup of coffee and all the chocolate I can eat. And we're just going to keep moving forward on this stuff. We got plenty going on, but I got to tell you right now, 2:36 p.m., breaking news. Sitting here right now, the Attorney General Merrick Garland is being grilled in Congress. I say grilled. It depends on who's asking him the question, right? I mean, when the Democrats ask him the question, it's all soft sell and thank you for your hard work. And wasn't January 6th a very mean day in our history when they tried to overthrow all of government and take over the Department of Defense and whatever else? No. He is making some time up there on the Hill. And that's going to be interesting to see what kind of comments come out of that, because we've already seen that some of the grilling has resulted in him, according to one story I'm looking at, saying that he's been stonewalling on questions about conflict of interest regarding his own son-in-law working for a company that sells critical race theory-based materials to public schools. And yet he, on the other hand, is looking at bringing in the FBI and the DOJ's, you know, actions to come to bear on parents who dare to speak out against that. Why is that not a conflict of interest? I mean, so the bottom line is, if I owned a company, well, I'll take it back. Let's do this. When I was in the state Senate, if I saw a bill come up that I felt like dealt with something that I practice as a matter of law, for instance, one of the main ones was real estate. My law practice involved a lot of real estate. And so if I saw a bill come up that I felt like in some way created a possible conflict or could benefit me if it was passed, I abstained from that vote. I did not go down that road. Well, Merrick Garland, apparently not so much. And that's interesting. So all said and done, yeah. Oh, boy, he's got problems. Another article just further down on the same screen that I'm looking at right now, breaking news. They're deflecting on supply chain issues right now. The White House doesn't really want to deal with it, even though another story at the same time says the logjam is causing huge problems in the neighborhoods in and around the ports, with one port container truck overturning and crushing local parked cars. Yay. All right. Listen, it's something else. But that's breaking news, and there's a lot more of it. In the meantime, though, let me get back to this topic I've got at hand. And Copper, if you would, go ahead and get clip one ready for me and let me know when you got it. So, oh, just like that fast, huh? Like you're just like waiting for me to say, hey, Copper, yep. Clip one. Bam. There it is. Okay. So here's the deal. Condoleezza Rice, somebody who I truly admire. I mean, you talk about someone with a resume, but you also talk about somebody who's like common sense. I mean, when she speaks, it's very often what I would call straightforward, matter of fact, and how do you argue with it? And I am certain that there are times when she and I have probably disagreed on some matter of policy, but I can't name one off the top of my head right now. But I will say this, her resume is amazing, and her background, if you're not familiar, stems from Alabama. She was born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama. And what you're going to hear is a clip in a moment. And I'm in this mode right now of discussing leadership. Condoleezza Rice would surely be one who has a resume that speaks with authority. She has been a Secretary of State. My recollection was she was also National Security Advisor, I believe. And she came up out of segregated Birmingham and you know, as an African-American woman who has made a name for herself in the world. And yet here she has every right, according to liberals, as a female, as a Black American, as, you know, having lived in segregated South, to claim, you know, racism and to point fingers and to jump on the critical race theory bandwagon. Does she do it? Nope. In fact, she came on to that most liberal of shows the other day called The View. And with Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg and the rest of the crew, she basically didn't let them have any quarter. And she was polite, but she was firm. And what's really funny is when you listen, she speaks with such authority, and she speaks with a resume and a personal background that they cannot deal with it. They don't know what to do. So Condoleezza Rice, speaking about critical race theory, setting a tone, in my opinion, one that I think speaks volumes, and I hope that the opponents to critical race theory grab hold of this and recognize what this is. Copper, play clip one.
A whole issue of critical race theory and what is and is not being taught. I come out of an academic institution, and this is something that academics debate, what is the role of race and so forth. And let me be very clear. I grew up in segregated Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go to a movie theater or to a restaurant with my parents. I went to segregated schools till we moved to Denver. Mm-hmm. My parents never thought I was going to grow up in a world without prejudice, but they also told me that's somebody else's problem, not yours. You're going to overcome it, and you are going to be anything you want to be. And that's the message that I think we ought to be sending to kids. One of the worries that I have about the way that we're talking about race is that it either seems so big that somehow white people now have to feel guilty for everything that happened in the past. I mm-hmm. don't think that's very productive. Or Black people have to feel disempowered by mm-hmm. race. I would like Black kids to be completely empowered, to know that they are beautiful in their Blackness, mm-hmm. but in order to do that, I don't have to make white kids feel bad for being white. So somehow this is a conversation that has gone in the wrong direction.
What an amazing statement. What an amazing statement. I know, wasn't it nice, Copper? That was very cool. And so I look at that, and I saw that this morning. Actually, I saw it, was it last night? Anyway, I put it out on my Twitter feed, and I look at it, and I'm thinking, that's leadership right there. That is leadership. That is someone who, by virtue of their position, decided to speak into a moment. And in my opinion, if that commentary right there is allowed to take hold, that's a logjam breaker right there. That's a comment by someone who you cannot argue with their bona fides. The liberals cannot dismiss her for not being Black because she is. The liberals cannot dismiss her for not having lived under segregation because she has. The liberals cannot dismiss her because she is, you know, in some way incapacitated because of hashtag Me Too. No, she's a woman who has proven that she can do anything in this world. You know, she's extremely academically achieved. She's a classical pianist. She's been the Secretary of State. She's worked in the upper reaches of government. She's interacted with leaders all over this world. And she sits right there in the midst of liberals on The View and says, critical race theory is wrong. We don't need to be spending time on it with our kids. And by the way, I don't believe that any child who is Black should feel disempowered, and no child who is white should feel like their whiteness is in some way a problem. Period. End of story. Take it and run with it, people. That's leadership right there. What'd you say, Copper? How is this what? What'd you say?
Oh, I mean, how is it controversial for her to get up and say, maybe we should, you know, build people up instead of tearing people down, and that'll help more.
That's just, you're exactly right. I mean, that's where we are right now, though, in our social structure right now. The liberals have grabbed hold of this, and they've made this one of their mantras, and it's becoming this thing that gets, you know, insidiously seeps into school board meetings and other things. But then you've got, to me, if Condoleezza Rice had stood up and said, I champion the cause of critical race theory. We've got to prove that what I went through as a child should never happen again. We've got to prove that the, you know, 1619 Project is the way to go. Oh my gosh, it would have gone the other way, in my opinion. But I believe that she's the kind of person who can have influence on this topic. And that's a key. That's important. That's a big, big deal. So folks, that's leadership right there. But that is also, by the way, someone who has a position of authority. Copper, go ahead and get me clip two ready. And let me know when you got it. But clip two, so here's the deal. Let's step back for a minute. That was Condoleezza Rice. That was your former Secretary of State. That was someone who I think could run for president if she wanted to, or at least at one point could have. That was someone from right here in Alabama, who, by the way, has an amazing resume, who is extremely achieved, who I admire greatly. But then there's this folks who look at something in their moment, in their particular, like Yusuf on my team in Baghdad, who just got in the moment and fixed a thing. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised to find out that Yusuf saved some lives that day in the Sadr City slums of Baghdad when he kept those 150 civilians off to the side. There was a lot of bad stuff happening that day, and he may have saved some lives. People can do things in the moment, never having any idea the impact of what they're doing. One of which is a parent up in, oh gosh, where is this? North Carolina. A parent in North Carolina spoke out hard and wound up making national news because the cheerleaders from the opposing school, she's a parent of a biracial child at a Catholic school, and they were playing a public school, and the public school cheerleaders thought it'd be cute to have one of those banners that's big that the kids run, the football players run through when they come out, and it said something like, sniff, sniff, do you smell that? Privilege. Well, that was what was done, and the parents of the cheerleaders had seen it and didn't stop them. And this parent from the other school spoke out, and it became a whole thing. Go ahead and play clip two, Copper.
Did the school know about it? Because the football team ran through that sign.
Oh, the school had to know about it. Like I said, the cheerleaders were holding it out on the field, and that's the disappointing part of all of this, that the parents, the coaches, the school administration, they all allowed this to happen. And at what point is enough enough? And when the adults are allowing this, that's where the problem lies.
The Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District sent a statement. They said squad members and adults responsible for oversight will face consequences as a result of that banner display. Butler High School cheerleaders have sent an apology letter to counterparts at the Charlotte Catholic School. Soon there will be a meeting between the school's cheerleading squads to facilitate goodwill and understanding. How do you feel about that? Are you satisfied with that?
I am satisfied with that because, I mean, no one's looking for the teammates to be suspended. At least I'm not. I think that would be a little drastic. But what I would like to see is the coming together. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to come together, and we're going to have to get over this because our children are seeing it, and it's allowed. And when the children are allowed to do this and the parents and the adults aren't stopping it, it's only going to continue.
Well, there you go. And so, listen, what that was a mom. That was a mom who had every reason, like Condoleezza Rice had every reason not to speak the way she did, but she chose to. She spoke truth into the matter. This mom had every reason not to be satisfied with the outcome of this situation. She's the parent of a biracial child who was personally offended by the fact that these kids on the opposite team would hold up this giant banner that said, sniff, sniff, do you smell that privilege? And it had dollar signs on it. And by the way, privilege was written in white, which she believes also meant that they were probably trying to assert white privilege. But all that to say, this mom had an opportunity to slam them, to demand that they be, you know, chastised publicly and castigated and expelled from school or anything else. But she was satisfied that there was a reconciliation and that an apology had been issued. That's all she wanted. And she wanted it also, by the way, to be something that the kids remembered, and it didn't happen again because the parents and the kids heard this moment and recognized it for what it was because this one woman chose to speak out. I'm telling you, folks, that's leadership. All right, we got to take a short break. When we get back from that, I'm going to wrap up this section on leadership, and then top of the hour, we're going to have the folks from Alabama Policy Institute, their president, Caleb Crosby, good friend of mine, and also a friend of mine, Justin Bogie, their fiscal analyst, calling in at 3 to talk about some massive spending and the report they've just issued on it. You may want to get a copy of it. It's pretty interesting. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, folks, got to tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. And I talk about them all the time. Why? Because the place is so cool. I mean, you've got to go see it. It's an oasis in North Alabama. It is a regional destination. I mean, people come from all over the place to hunt quail and pheasant there. It's also the kind of place you can have a corporate retreat. You can stay overnight. They've got chefs that cook like you would not believe. And I'm just telling you, the whole place is like just like 400 acres of manicured grounds and beautiful facilities. Just check it out. Go to their website, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. You will quickly see why they were featured in Garden and Gun magazine, why Donald Trump Jr. chose to come and stay there for a quail hunt. Yeah, that cool. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Just check them out. Hey, so I'm sitting here looking at Twitter, checking headlines. Sometimes I get quicker insights onto what's happening in the news with social media because, you know, things get put up there momentarily. Funny thing was, so that clip we just played of Condoleezza Rice, literally just saw somebody who posted it and said, this has now been seen over 1 million times. That one clip I just played you has over 1 million views, which tells me that her comments are reaching and resonating, all right? That's a clear indication that what she has said is hitting a nerve and is being seen and heard across the world probably, but especially across this nation. And that's just wonderful. I love that. And I tell you what, I don't know all of her politics. I don't know if she's a centrist, if she's a moderate, if she's, you know, considered to be a conservative. But I do know this. She is somebody who I hugely respect, and she spoke into this moment just right, and I'm glad of it. So as we move forward, let me just remind you some other things that have happened. All right, so the other day, and I've got to find that website right now so I don't quote it wrong. I'm going to scroll through my own social media real quickly to find that website. But I had some folks on. A lady called from Fairhope, and she was literally giving me the lowdown on their own efforts, which is a website right now you can find called Health Freedom Alabama. And this is one of those grassroots movements. This is a group of people that are working right now to try and encourage the legislature to please do something about vaccine mandates. And they're, you know, right now the cause celeb for this group is House Bill 31. And I don't know if House Bill 31 is going to wind up being the solution, but there needs to be a solution. And so I love the fact that we got a grassroots group that's forming right now to get the word out, to rally people up, and to move things forward. And we need that. And that right there is leadership, by the way. This is not somebody who comes in and has an elected position or, you know, is being paid big bucks or whatever else. This is just a concerned citizen who found more concerned citizens who began to put together an opportunity. And literally, here we are looking at them having a website, contacting their state representatives and state senators, the governor's office. And yeah, I mean, very cool. Very cool. So we'll see where that goes. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, folks. And that's the kind of thing that's got to happen more. We got to have more of it. More of it. Well, listen, when we get back after the top of the hour here, we're going to have news here in just a few minutes. The Alabama Policy Institute is an organization that I've been with for a number of years. And when I was a state senator, for 8 years in the state senate, my thing was, much like I do this radio show, if I went to the podium to debate a bill or to deal with something in committee, I wanted to have my facts in hand. I wanted to be able to not just get up there and render an opinion. I mean, sometimes opinions do weigh into the argument. Like on a pro-life matter, I knew what my opinion was, but I would get facts to go with my opinion. A lot of times the facts that I went with were research papers put together by the Alabama Policy Institute. You can find their website at alabamapolicy.org. That's alabamapolicy.org. But they've done a great new paper on spending in Montgomery just came out. And right after the top of the hour, we're going to have Caleb Crosby, the president of API, and Justin Bogey, the fiscal analyst who put together that paper, on the show, and we're going to talk about the record levels of revenue that are being gathered up from the people of the state and the record level of spending to grow government that we're seeing in Montgomery. How much of that has come back to you? Not much. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We got a lot more where that came from. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.